He's in fact our feature interview, thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask a Mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional choice, and we got to give him a proper intro.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
The victory today goes to Will Davison. Podium after podium after podium, and the tantalising prospect of a victory, and particularly given the fact that he's had so many armour all poles, and finally that key conversion for him. Will Davison breaks through for the Shell V-Power Racing Team for his first victory since Bathurst 2016, and Jack Smith buries it in the sand.
Oh, yes, he certainly did celebrate. You want to talk about monkey off the back. He got the job done, got the chocolate, so please welcome back to the driver's seat, the one and only Will Davison.
Hey, Jen. Is it bad I was, like, bopping away to the tune then? It's good.
Mate, there's a camera in this studio, Wilbur, and it's constantly running, and if Nimsy cuts up some of that footage, I was dead set rocking out. I had the hands in the nightclub in the corner going. It was absolutely sensational. Oh, hey,
I've
congratulations.
Seen the J-Dance before. I don't want to see that again.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's not a pretty sight. You know. Have you ever seen an elephant trip over? It's pretty much like that.
I can fully see that too, especially as you're wearing grey tonight.
You got the
Hey, Wilbur, congrats, mate. You're back to the top step where you belong. You've been knocking on the door, you've been right there, and finally, bang, whooshka, you're at the top step. Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks. It feels really good. But yeah, we've been knocking on the door, like you said, so it's funny. Like, it's just more of a relief, but it's what, you know, it's what we are aspiring to do. I know it's what the team's capable of, so the expectations are high, and you know, we've just been knocking on the door now for so long. So I suppose it's definitely a good feeling to be back on that top step. But it's also sort of kind of, you know, in my head, I'm like, right, let's not get too carried away with it. Let's press on and get some more. But awesome to just tick it off, and particularly quite early in the season. And now I can stop talking about it and we can just get back to work.
Hey, mate, you're right, because out of the up until your race win, race two in Perth, out of those 10 races, you had four P2s. You know, you've had four pole positions. You know, it's your strongest start to the year by a country mile. And now it's not really a monkey off your back. It's just, I guess, waiting from 2016 till now is a long time. So, you know, and I know how badly you wanted it. But, you know, I think for me too, apart from, you know, obviously Maddie loves the soapbox, so I'm sure he's going to ask you the question about the Cam Waters pass. But
I wasn't actually your smart aleck. I was going to let that fly, but now I will.
What a ripper pass, let me tell you. And calculated, knew what you were doing, no lockups, nothing. And, I mean, people have asked me many times about that instance and that penalty. And all I turned around and said was, well, most other tracks from that point of the curb behind the curb are grass. So that was a standard track, there was no way that Cam would have purposely cleared the brake, fired in 5K too quick, got on the gas earlier to try to stay in front, because you're just putting yourself off the circuit. So, you know, in my mind, it's been a contentious issue from when I was racing there. You know what I mean? We've spoken about it so much, and there's got to be something that they can do there, whether they put little mini bread loaves out there or something like that stops people from going out there.
Yeah, it is one of those things. It did take a bit of flavour off the win, and it shouldn't have. I mean, how many times in your career does someone win? It's because maybe two people have tangled, maybe someone sped in the lane, and people don't say they were gifted a win. And I suppose I was actually, you know, we'd done such an amazing job. The boys in the stop were so fast, and we really nailed the sequence. I pulled off, you know, the move. I was sort of like, oh wow, it's done. The hard bit's done. And then, you know, you summed it up perfectly then. I mean, you know, I sort of Cam turned down very early. We had a little bit of contact, and then I sort of quickly sort of realised that he'd gassed it. And by that stage, you know, I tried to hold it tight in the track and lost all the momentum. So it's kind of like, well, yeah, it's not. If I opened the wheel and gassed it out there, I would have been out of stay in front of him. But it's sort of, if it was a wall or any other corner, you naturally tuck in, don't you, and go for the switchback. But people do take advantage of the track. But it was clamped down in 2019. It's just we haven't been there for 3 years. So I think people, I think, forgot about the controversy in 2019 and 18 where it was way stricter than any other year. And it was black and white that it couldn't be done. And, you know, back in the day, we all used to do it. But I remember last time we were there how harsh the penalties were for that exact thing. So it's just 3 years has gone by, and I think it's sort of now been raised up again.
And I think one of the things also, Wilbur, is that if you look at your current form through 2022, this year, you've been fast. Like, you've been right there. You've been knocking on the door. So this wasn't a fluke. Like, with respect, if one of the premier racing cars had won it, you'd go, mate, boy, oh boy, that was unexpected, and what a great win, and good for you. We probably won't see that again in a little while. But I think the reality is, you've been right there knocking on the door. Everyone's been getting half shellacked by SVG. You've been a consistent threat to that. And now, hopefully, the door will be open and you'll be able to pick up a few more because you do have the pace.
Yeah, well, listen, I think I think the team as a whole, even last year, were pretty unfairly treated. I mean, it's a pretty tough sport at the moment. And, you know, with all the change that happened last year, two new drivers, you know, some other big changes within the organisation. You know, we kept it together, and I think all in all, you know, I was third in the championship until about 30 minutes to go at Bathurst, where, you know, I ended up fourth in the points and had a qualifying average of 5 of last year, and to still be pretty much, and been out of the sport for 12 months, so, and people saying, oh, it's a bit of a tough year for you, it's kind of like, hang on.
No, it's not.
You know, to be honest, I think, you know, we had lots of podiums and everything last year, and naturally was stepped it up a little bit more this year, which is what happens, you know, when you're second year with an engineer and an organisation. If you work hard, you'd like to think just through natural progression, you're going to take it to that next level, knowing the car and yourselves that bit better. So that's what we've done this year. I mean, I think, you know, of all the races, you know, every single race so far, we've been in a podium position. Obviously, we've had four, but at Albert Park, the two races we weren't, you know, we were 1-2 when the tyres blew up, and then I had an incident with Waters, you know, when I was off the front row at Albert Park as well. So it's all promising, you know, when you say of the 10 or 12 races, we've been in top three positions in every single one. You know, it's promising. And but the win, as you said, Shane's just been just so dominant. And it's sort of then that's all that everyone's focusing on is that we haven't been winning, but we've certainly been there knocking on the door and certainly showing amazing qualifying speed, which is really cool.
Do you, mate, do you think that, you know, from me looking from the outside, you know, there was a step forward in the cars at Barbagallo from the AGP, especially in the regard of your race pace at the end of a stint. It looked better at the end of the stint. Do you think that that's come down to the setup and the changes that you guys went through between AGP and Wanneroo, or do you think it's track specific? What do you think?
Yeah, probably. I mean, people don't understand. If we don't often at the end of a race, if you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. And if you say you're unhappy with second, you get criticised for being unhappy. If you celebrate second, people tell you not to celebrate for being happy. I mean, we work hard in the background. You know, sometimes we say the right thing. We like to be, you know, humble in victory and, what do they say, gracious in defeat. But, you know, obviously it hurts to lose and it hurts to be getting smacked in race trim. And we work damn hard about, you know, on that, and we constantly talk about it and debrief and try things. And, you know, we've tried so many things to try and make our car a bit better in race trim. I think everything in the toolbox we've tried in our current package to try and match Shane in race trim. And so as though we've got a slow car, I mean, these are coming from times where we're rolling out and we're on pole position, we're locking away front rows. So, I mean, I think the team, we're doing an exceptional job, I think, rolling out a fast car every race. It's just there's some traits in the packages, and I'm not going to get drawn into, you know what it may be. But certainly in race trim, we're just not able to quite, you know, match some of the things he's doing in their car. And but yeah, we know at what corners we're good and where we're a bit weak, and maybe it was a bit track specific in Perth, but also definitely it's a huge talking point for us at the moment. And yeah, absolutely, we're always trying things, so it's probably a combo of both. And that sort of certainly won't end. You know, the work going on in the background is you know, fierce, and it's exciting, the motivation in the team. So we'll be pushing for sure, because we need a bit more still. He's still incredibly fast in the races.
Yeah, and I was just about to touch on that. I mean, he seems to still have that edge in race trim, absolutely. But
yep.
I feel as though you've closed that gap in race trim from the previous round.
Yeah, I think so. And it's people say, oh, you're too hard on your tyres. It's actually not true either. Like, to be honest, this is probably one of the best cars I've ever driven in tyre life. Like, at the end of races, we're always strong. Like, the car's exceptionally good on its tyres. So it's not as though we just set it up too aggressive and, you know, some of the very simple feedback you get.
That showed with Anton in race two, the one that you guys finished one too. Mm. That actually showed, because Andre behind him had four tyres on and he got to Anton, but then Anton was able to just pull a little bit more of a gap on him the last lap or two. So that actually does show that the tyre life is there.
Yeah, no, the tyre life's always there. It always has been. It's just there's certain phases in the stint, and it's the way the whole car philosophy is engineered, and it's not that simple to just, you know, re-engineer everything for the race. You know, the car's an exceptional car. Like, every time I get in it, it's a privilege to drive it. And it's just, it's hard when people are negative saying you're just not winning. And we know that. But, the car's so good. Like, it feels good. It's just, I don't know what really to say. I mean, it's just some of the things Shane and his car are doing at the moment. I've sort of, in my years in the sport, it's pretty full on when you're racing against it, and particularly when your car's not doing that much wrong sometimes. You're beating everyone else. It's just, trying to understand what we need to do. So that's the beauty of motorsport. That's what we love. It's a pressure we all feel, but we're thriving on it. I'm trying to rise to the occasion. I'm always looking at myself as well, seeing how I can be better. I mean, Shane's an exceptional driver, but I've raced him for many years as well. So, we'll all back ourselves, and I think that's what we're doing. I think we're really gelling as a team, and it's really cool. So yeah, I'm sure we can get some, you know, more victories in these upcoming events as the year goes on.
Wilbur, I want to take you away from Barbagallo for just a minute. There's obviously the big scuttlebutt around the weekend was the potential for WAU to go to Ford for next year. There's a lot of online stuff at the moment. We're expecting a press conference on Friday.
Speed Cafe or something?
Because there have been, we might as well name him. Jason Bright has come out as a former HRT driver. You're a former HRT driver. If the decision is to go to Ford, does that surprise you? Because I'm going to talk a little bit about it later on in the show. I'm not all that surprised, and I'll explain the reasons why. But does WAU potentially going to Ford Mustang for next year, for Gen 3, does that surprise you with your knowledge, your inside knowledge of the place?
It's big news, because Clayton and, the Walkinshaw name is just synonymous with Holden, as we know. So... Yeah. It is shock. There's a big shock factor, but it's like everything, right? It's 2022, and there's your heart and your head, isn't there? So, without being actively involved in that business, I know, as Steve well and truly does, the reality of the motorsport industry is brutal, and the fan base carries for a lot. So, you know, the fan base of the DJR brand, I mean, it is blue. It is Ford through and through, and I suppose WAU is the same with the red side, but with Holden no longer existing, I suppose they've diversed their Walkinshaw brand a lot through lots of manufacturers, with the Andretti United brands on board. I'm not shocked, because the reality of the situation is much different from the emotional element, I'm sure. And there will be some
It's commercial. It's fully commercial.
But it's commercial, and you've got to survive in this industry. And people don't actually understand probably how hard it is for teams to survive. Mm. And you've got to do what you've got to do. And it's big. It is big. But, I can totally understand the sport and the commercial ramifications sometimes of these decisions. And there's some big players at the ownership of that team now, so it's not up to someone's emotional decision. There's a lot of people that have got to sign off on these things. So, no, I'm not surprised at all, to be honest. I thought it might be another manufacturer, but if they weren't, I knew they'd be the first team to bring in a new manufacturer if it was possible, but it hasn't happened. So there we go.
Do you know what I reckon? Sorry to interrupt. Do you know what I reckon would be a bigger shock? If DJR went to GM or something like that, that would be a barn burner.
Not going to happen.
Like, not gonna...
But Ford's still well and truly, you know, like look at the Ford brand in motorsport. It's beaming, it's humming. And it's so cool that, you know, to see the way Ford Australia and Ford Performance are, you know, so actively involved in global motorsport, but then, you know, with the DJR Shell V Power Racing team, it's from my point of view as a driver coming back in, it's really special to feel that manufacturer presence. And, you know, and they know how important, you know, the DJR name and fan base is to their brand. So that would be big news, but that don't happen.
Yeah. It's actually quite funny because there was a period of time there where Ford sort of dropped their support right down, you know, I guess probably back in sort of that 2005, 6, 7, and Holden and HRT and HSV were massive.
Mm.
And now it's almost role reversal, or not even, because they're not even around anymore. Yeah. So, hey, mate, we got a text coming in from your mate, Matty, Tommy from Toowoomba. So I thought I'd read this out to you before you go. It says, "Hi guys, just a quick congratulations to Will for the win. But how is he liking having ADP as a teammate? Can you rate who your favourite teammates have been?"
Oh dear. Well, I'm going to say it's great to have ADP as a teammate. We're actually, honestly, getting on really, really well. We're at, you know, separate ends of your career, so to speak. And I think we've both got a mutual respect for each other. And honestly, it's a really, really good working relationship. We're really good mates. We push each other super hard for pace, but we've got the team's, you know, ultimate results as a bigger picture, you know. So we race each other hard, but it's a really, really healthy relationship, to be honest. He's funny too. Like, he keeps me up to speed with all the young generation chit chat going on. some of the shenanigans that get discussed on the way to the hotel is pretty funny. But he's a really good bloke, good guy, great competitor, great driver, favourite teammate.
You can say Garth Tander if you want. That's fine.
It's always in Emery Street, Stapleton. You know, it's just for sure. You can't go past the drives of the 17, but...
suck up.
No. Always DJR. Whoever my DJR teammates are, there we go.
There you go. And we're going to let you go, mate. We know you're over there in Perth still and you're seeing family and that sort of stuff. But I think we haven't had a chance to talk to your beautiful wife, Rihanna. In fact, I think she was crowned champion of one of the champions of SAS when we were on air. Mm. I just wanted to collectively say from us at the driver's seat and all the folks that listen,
Hang on, mate, I've got to go. She just said I've got to do the dishes. Like, when she's like, I just got to go.
That is cool. Mate, what an absolute champion. I mean, I'm pretty proud when Mrs. Mac goes outside to mow the lawns when I can't do it. To watch your beautiful wife go through what she went through and come out on top, have you ever been more proud of the woman? Because I don't really know her, and I was screaming at the TV when she got it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, amazing. It's great to be just introduced as Rihanna's husband pretty much regularly now. It's cool. Like, I know how tough she is. I know what she's been through personally, and I knew that the length she would go to mentally, you know, and to get through something like this. So I was concerned because I know sometimes the damage she'd do to herself just to actually achieve something, because when she puts her mind to something, she's amazing, incredible. So I lived the whole journey late last year when they filmed it, and I didn't really know much. She had no phone or contact, a little bit of stuff with the producer. So I sort of obviously knew a bit, but then to see it come to air this year and live it with her every week, not really knowing much, it was amazing. Super, super proud of her. She's a weapon, that's for sure.
It was hard to watch at times what they put them through.
Yeah, it was,
and just as a fan and a friend rather than
it was literally
being
torture.
A husband or a wife.
Half of it was like torture. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's pretty real. Like, I think there's actually a lot more than you see on television. It's one of those shows that's actually not, well, let's just do something when the camera's on. It's actually 24 hours a day. So if anything, you know, the edit doesn't do it justice, you know, because they're actually, the only way to get them out of the show is to proper torturise them. So there's a lot more, she said, that's not shown, whether it's the sleep deprivation, the no food, and then sometimes getting to some of the activities. They were running 5, 6, 7K. Like, there was so much you wouldn't have seen. She's very, very strong, very proud of her, and pretty amazing experience for her. She loved it.
Hey, Will, sorry, Nimsy, just quickly, how long was she gone for from home? Like, was it a month? Is it 2 weeks? I mean, you don't really get an idea of how long the camp was.
Yeah, so the filming was 14 days. Well, it was a 14-day course. So she went about a week earlier. About 3 days before phone was gone. So, and then it was the 2 weeks afterwards she was in the, you know, couldn't come home, cross the border for 2 weeks. And that was when I had to leave for the 7 weeks on the road in Sydney last year. So I dropped her at the airport, I think September 28, and didn't see her till Bathurst. She came to Bathurst at the start of December. So it
was,
pretty full on. Yeah. Pretty full on time for us to be apart from each other. But didn't hear. I just get the odd snip from the producer. They sort of say once they're like, please have your phone on at 2 a.m. because the recruits are copping a beasting at 2 a.m. So you know, I was the contact that would be called if Rihanna had to voluntarily withdraw the. So a few times I just get there's a 2 a.m. beasting. Have your phone on, and I was always just, well, it'd be 4 a.m. I'm like, my phone didn't ring. She's lasted another day, you know.
And
it was pretty full on, yeah.
Was that in reverse too? Like, would she get a call once you got sick of Sydney Motorsport Park, or?
Oh, she heard enough of me at Sydney Motorsport Park. That's
for sure. Oh my! Well, no, I don't know how all of you blokes didn't leave there with a straitjacket on after 4 straight weeks.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, that was quite the experience. It was like, yeah, it was weird. I don't know. That was really weird. It was kind of cool. Like, it's amazing. Like, motorsport in general, you think you'd have it down pat, but if anything, it made it worse because you'd done so many laps at a place and you were just then found yourself always trying something new, and everyone got to such a high level there, but you'd end up probably driving worse at the fourth week than the first, you know, but over-engineered the track. But anyway, quite an experience.
Oh, it was crazy. But hey, Wilbur, you've given us an incredible amount of your time, mate, and we thank you for doing that. And it was absolutely mental to see you on top of the top step once again. And I'm sure, like, finally, all that, like, oh, geez, he hasn't won since Bathurst 2016, all that in the bin. So it's good to see you back on the top.
I mean, a few have let slip, but that's the way motorsport goes. You know, I think through 19 and 20, I didn't drive, and a few last year. And, you know, so I didn't get too stressed about it. But, yeah, it was one of those things that was just annoying. And because I love the sport and I'm in car 17, and, you know, I know I should be winning in car 17, but I feel like I'm performing well, driving well. But just to say now I'm a winner in car 17 alongside the great Johnsons is, for me, cool as well, because it's one of those things that you know was going to happen, but the longer it goes on, you're like, I just wouldn't mind making sure I just tick that stat, you know, that when I'm old and I can just say that I won driving car 17, you know.
Pretty sure if you win one more time in 17... you knock off Steve Johnson's record. Is that right?
No, he's got three.
Piss off.
Did you have three?
I had three.
I thought you had one in Canberra.
Canberra. Yeah, I had one in Canberra. Canberra, Calder, and QR.
Remember QR when it was wet and the bloke was running through the sand
track
with his pants hanging
the
down?
The 500. Yeah. Righto.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was on the hill that day. Won the Australian Formula Ford Championship, and I was drinking a Jimmy can up on
Jimmy
the hill.
Jimmy can. I was going to say you were getting ready for 2006 and 2007.
Well, 2007. I reckon it's a record you'll be able to knock off there, Wilbur.
I hope he does. I hope he does.
Just a couple more.
Don't underestimate it, though. I'd hope so. But, hey, bloody hard to win in this sport. People have got to bloody appreciate and respect us more, to be honest. But anyway, that's just...
You haven't achieved anything until you've won 3 Touring Car Masters Championships in a row. Let me give you the tip.
Exactly. I've watched those qualifiers, Steve. Are you hustling that thing? You still got it.
Well, it's just like you, Will, like you are Rihanna's husband. Well, I'm either Dick's son or Jet's dad.
Yeah. And so you're proud of that, aren't you? How
absolutely.
Good is Jet going? Yeah, what a legend. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going great. And he really enjoyed that little chat with you on the grid at the 6 hour before the race. It was very cool.
Yep. Yep.
Do you know what
I just remember my first Bathurst with you in 05.
Yep.
And Jet was born a few months before that. And there I was just on the grid. And all of a sudden,
that's cool.
He's towering over me. And I just had a bit of those, wow, where on earth is that time gone?
You know, what? Crap, yeah.
Do you know what you don't get, Stevie J?
What's that?
You're Matt's co-host. You'll never get that.
I'll never get that.
No. I'm just, you know, you're always the number one in this little family right here. Behind the mics, you're the guy. You're the guru. You and Nimsy.
We'll let you go, mate, because you've given us a lot of your time. But go well at Winton, because it's a track that you've done pretty well at. And hopefully we'll chat to you soon on the driver's seat.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Always good to chat. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Will Davison joining us here on the driver's seat. And how good was it to see him back on the top step, boys?
Yeah, he's very a good cool. boy. And he's and as he said, you know, he is driving well.
He's
and,
driving really well.
And he's
I think he's surprising
committed.
A lot of people he's because fit.
He's you know, he's not this is not he is not a seat warmer for the next up and coming to go into 17.
No.
He's third in the championship, a little bit behind ADP, not too much. And he's bloody good. He is red hot. So it was great to see him. And we'll talk about the racing, Stevie J. It was good without being great. Yeah. Super 2, however, that was great. And we'll talk about that as well coming up.
Yeah, we've got a lot to get through here on the driver's seat. But Will Davison was our feature interview. Thanks to Ryko Filters. Ask your mechanic for Ryko Filters, the professional's choice.